I'm just saving you all the sorrow of having to see that. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 8. If not, we'll have them up on a screen for you. Praise God. He's merciful.
Amen.
I said He's merciful.
Amen.
And, you know, the devil's the accuser.
That's right.
The Bible says the devil's the one that brings the condemnation. God's not a God of condemnation. God's a God of new beginnings. God's a God of fresh starts. God's a God of forgiveness and mercy and love and just a new chance. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for that. I've had to lean on His mercy so many times. So many times straying and doing my own thing. And you know, I found it never worked out doing it my own thing, but I'm so thankful God never said, "I told you so." You know the prodigal son story where the one son was blessed and stayed with his dad. The other son took the dad's inheritance, went out and wasted it on riotous living, the Bible says. When he got in a bad place, he had nowhere else to turn but back home. And you know, he was very worried about coming home, wasn't he? I mean, he wasted all his dad's money. He really hurt the family name and how he was living, and he went out. But he said, you know, I'd just like to come back and eat what the pigs eat. I just like to come back and be a servant in my dad's house. Well, when he was coming back, his dad had been on the porch just watching, just hoping to see that son coming up over that hillside. And he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He saw him, and what's interesting is the dad didn't sit there and say, "Oh, I'm going to give it to him when he comes back. Oh, wait till I'm going to read him right at when he gets back. I'm going to just let him have it." No, and the dad didn't just stand there and look at his son. When the dad saw the son coming home, what'd he do? He took off running. Arms open. Just so thankful his boy had come home. And not only did the boy come home, but the father restored him to a better place than he was before. That's what God will do for you. God can take your failures and your mess ups and not hold them against you, but turn it around and make you in a better place than you've ever been before. How do I know I'm living proof? I'm living proof of it. Praise God. And so it doesn't matter what you've done up to today. Listen, yesterday doesn't even exist anymore, but tomorrow does. And the next day does. Hallelujah. And don't you let the devil tell you that that you've missed it, that it's too late for you. It's never too late. God's a God of speeding things up. God's a God that can make things supernaturally happen quicker. He'll get you caught up. Don't you worry about it. Praise God. Well, Matthew chapter 8. Hallelujah. That'll help somebody in here. Matthew chapter 8. We started a series last week. And the definition of the series was, or the title I should say, is Healing Belongs to Us and How to Access It. Now, I encourage you. We do have live stream right now. We are broadcasting all over the world. I'm sure there's just some tribe in some far out place just listening to me this morning. That's probably not true, but we'll believe that anyways. We'll hope for that. And just hearing God's word. And we have those archived on there. And so I encourage you to get on there and listen to these. If you missed last week, to get on there and listen. And, you know, healing is an interesting topic in the Bible. It's one that's debated heavily, and it shouldn't be. It's very clear in the word. But it's the second thing that people face the most that I, when I counsel and talk with other pastors. Number one, people struggle with money, it seems to be. Number two is healing. And things that are very clear in the Bible of what God would want. So we need to find out how to access these things. We need to understand that healing belongs to us. Praise God. That it's something, my heart is that after you see this series, you'll just get so, you'll get such a righteous anger towards disease and sickness. Where you realize this does not belong anywhere in my life. This does not belong on my body. It does not belong on my kids. It does not belong on my family. It doesn't even belong on the dogs that live in your house. I'll tell you, my dogs are healthy. Praise God. Why? They're in my home. Praise God. I'm believing for everything. See, I've laid hands on my dogs before they were sick and they got better. Lord loves me. He loves my stuff too. You think I'm crazy? This is just how I live. Praise God. But we're talking about our own bodies being healed. But don't take my word for it. Make sure it's in the Bible. And that's what this series is going to teach us. How clear it is in the word of what God's take is on it. Because is God indifferent to it? Is God the sickness sender? Is God the disease sender? Is God the one that's trying to teach us a lesson through sickness? When we face sickness, is God's attitude of, whatever? We need to find out. Because we want what He wants. And we can't have anything apart from what He says we can have. We took my son and daughter to Midway Park. And I told this story, but I'll say it again. You know, Caleb loved it. Just absolutely loved it there. Loved the slide. Just wanted to keep going up and down the slide, up and down the slide. And he wants to go every single day now. And he's four, you know, and He can come up to me and say, he can come up and tell you, all you in church, and say, "Ma'am, I'm going to Midway tomorrow." And unless Daddy said we're going to Midway tomorrow, he ain't going to Midway, right? He can't have anything apart from his daddy's will or what his daddy wants for him. Same with you. If you're going through a sickness, you can't believe to be healed if you don't know first and foremost that God wants you healed, that God wants you well, and then how to access it. So that's what we're talking about here. So Matthew chapter 8 is kind of where we started in this series in verse 1. And I'm going to do just a real quick review, but it's, and then we're going to build on last week and go into something extra for this week. Hallelujah. If you're here for the very first time and you wonder, man, is this one of those churches that go till like 3 in the afternoon? Today it is. No, I'm just kidding. We get you out of here in about 40, 45 minutes. It helps people to receive. It calms them down when they don't think, okay, lunch is still possible today. Praise God. It helps you receive. So anyways, chapter 8 and verse 1 says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, talking about Jesus. And behold, there came a leper or a sick person and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you will," or "if you're willing, you can make me clean." You know, this is the question that most people have with God. It's not, "are you able?" Most people think God can. The question is, are you willing to do it, and are you willing to do it for me? We all, I mean, even the people that don't believe in divine healing think God can heal. But you need to be sold out to the fact that he wants to, that he's willing, and that he's going to. Because the Bible says that the way we receive his promises are through faith. True biblical faith is not hope. Hope is, well, I hope it happens. Faith is, it's happening. Not I hope, it's happening. Faith isn't a wish. Faith isn't a desire. Faith is, I got it, and I got it right now, and there's nothing going to keep me from it. Well, you can't have that mentality until you know Daddy, the one that's giving the healing, is 100% behind that and has the same feeling towards sickness that you have. Well, that's what we're going to look at. So he said to him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can." And then in verse 3, Jesus said, I love it. He put forth his hand and touched him and said, "I will." Hallelujah. "Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we need to get over the, is God willing, to knowing that he will, and then finding out how to get it into our life. Well, last week we looked at, what is God's take on divine healing? What's God's idea? Is he indifferent to it? Is it a ho-hum type of thing for him? Or is it something that he clearly states of his position on the subject? Go to Exodus 15, 26. God makes a declaration to mankind in this verse. You're going to be helped this morning. Hallelujah. You say, I don't need healing. Well, you might someday. Or someone around you might need it. And you can bring the message to them. And don't unplug, because God can say, you can be in a service that's all about healing and have a financial problem. God will speak your answer to you. Because he knows what you need. You can be here in your relationship, having problems in your relationship, and God says something in a healing service. So don't unplug. Just stay hooked up. Amen. Exodus 15, 26 says, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And I want to stop there. Lord actually gave me more revelation this morning about that as I was walking my dogs. He speaks to me when I'm walking those puppies. Praise God. That's why they get healed, I think. I need those dogs for revelation. But it says, I'll put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. That verse, if you take that verse face value, makes it look like God sent sickness to the Egyptians. I'll explain that to you and help you with that. But we'll get back to that in a second. That's what we're going to build upon today, going into something new. But he says at the end of that verse, he makes a declaration. He says, I am, everybody say, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Wow. He makes a declaration. He says, I am the God who's the healer. There's 7 covenant names in the Old Testament of God that reveal his character. When he says, I am the Lord, that can be translated in the Hebrew Jehovah, or I, the Lord God. That healeth thee, the word in the Hebrew is the word Rapha. He says, I am Jehovah Rapha, or I am the Lord that heals you. That word healeth in the Hebrew means to restore, to repair, to mend, to make thoroughly whole, to cure, to be the physician. God is saying, I am the physician. I'm the repairer of your body. I'm the mender of your body. Glory to God. He says once and for all. And that right there should just kind of make you think, how can he be the healer and the sickness giver? Well, that's what we're going to explain, because even in that verse, it looks contradictory. He's given sickness in one place, he's the healer in the next place. But I'm going to help you with this, and we're going to, in this review here, and start to build. Remember, God here says, I'm the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. Your God's a healer. Yes. Hello, your God's a healer. He said it himself. But remember we talked about the Jesus rule? Remember Jesus said this? He said, I can only say what the Father says. I can only do what the Father does. And remember Jesus said this? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Jesus made that statement. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen who my dad is. It's not a big mystery. Well, if you study the life of Jesus, the 3.5 years he was on the earth in the Gospels of ministry, he was here 33 and a half, but ministry 3.5, when do you ever see Jesus make one person sick? Never. When do you ever see Jesus do anything harmful? Never. When do you ever see Jesus send a plague and destroy people? Never. But wait, I thought God sends plague. When did you ever see Jesus send a flood to kill people? Never. Why? You've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. God's a good God. You say, but Pastor, the Old Testament is pretty darn clear. I mean, if you study the Old Testament, it makes it look like your God is a murderous, evil, angry, temperous God who went to anger management counseling when Jesus died on the cross and now is a nice God. That's what it looks like. It looks like God went to counseling and got everything fixed. I'm going to help you with that. Because if you have it in the back of your mind that God sent sickness to someone and what's to say he's not going to send it to me or strike me down, it's like God's got that red button, just bam, destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Destroy the world with a flood. God didn't do any of that, praise God. You say, but that's what the Bible says. I know, I'm going to help you, praise God. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Go to Acts 10:38 real quick. And this is what I'm going to build on, that you need to know that God is not for sickness, that he doesn't send it. God does not have his hand in anything bad. Amen. Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now remember, God anointed him to do this, to do what? Who went about doing good. Amen. And healing how many? All that were oppressed of who? The devil, for God was with him. That verse right there clearly tells us who's responsible for sickness and disease. The devil oppresses people with sickness. God doesn't. And if God were ever in the history of mankind, from the beginning of time to now, ever to make one person sick, then we can say that God does the same thing as the devil does, and God is the epitome, the exact opposite of who the devil is. He doesn't go arm in arm with the devil doing the same things. He doesn't partner with the devil. And the Bible says oppressed of the devil. Remember Jesus said in John 10? He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil's the stealer. The devil's the killer. The devil's the destroyer, not God. But wait a minute, the flood in Sodom and Gomorrah and the plagues and all this stuff. Well, who wants to know? Anybody want to know what all that's about? Praise God. Well, let's find out. That's why we study. But here we see, now you need to see this, remember, he said Satan is the sickness giver. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 8. Praise God. This happened the other day and it happened this morning. I'm so thankful we live in the country because I can get loud when I'm praying. Because I get fired up. I get fired up. I started just at the top of my voice saying, Lord, you're good. You're good. I don't care what people are saying about you. You're love. Love never harms. Love never injures. Love never torments. Love never makes anyone suffer. You're a merciful, compassionate God. People have you wrong. And I'm just wondering, you know, we do have neighbors that are within earshot. I mean, they probably think I'm loony. Praise God. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why was the Son of God manifested? That he would destroy the works of the devil. Well, we just saw in Acts 10:38, what's a work of the devil? Oppressing people with sickness. Jesus was sent to destroy what the devil does. Hallelujah. Here's what you have to understand about the murderous, crazy God who needs medication, who needs counseling in the Old Testament. Because let me tell you something. We have a contradictory Bible. If God's a killer in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, he's love, mercy, and grace. What happened to God? Did God change? We know he can't change. The word says he changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's been loving once, he's always been loving. Here's what you need to understand that will help you in going forward. The Old Testament is an imperfect revelation of who God is, written by imperfect human beings who did not have the Holy Ghost like we do. The New Testament, you never interpret the New Testament with the Old Testament. You interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. The New Testament, is an easy way to think of it, is the Old Testament's dark, the New Testament is light. You know, if we were in here and let's say we wanted to paint the walls blue, but the electricity was out and it was dark outside, right? And we come, we're painting the walls blue, and man, we got our little cell phone lights out, and we think, man, we really did a good job on that. And the next day we come in with the electricity and lights out, I'll tell you what, it's going to look bad. Yeah. We're going to go outside the lines, get some on the carpet, get some on the ceiling, even though we thought it looked good. What? Light came and shed a light on the thing, and it made it clearer to us. Lord told me this on a walk this morning, and I'm going to get into more of this. He said, you can't separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. They're not two separate things. He said, they're like a movie, is what he told me. It's the first time he's ever said this to me. He said, they're like a movie. And you know what he brought up to me? He speaks to you how you understand. And you must think I really understand on a small level. Well, I do. Praise God. He said, think of the Wizard of Oz. That's what he said to me this morning. I didn't think this stuff up. He said, the Bible's like a movie. He said, for the majority of that movie, people thought that the wizard was great and powerful. They were proclaiming, he's a great and powerful Oz, right? They didn't know any better. But then the end of the movie came, and the truth was revealed of who the wizard was. Same with the Bible. The Old Testament, written by people who did not have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of them, listen, they didn't know God like you know God. They didn't have a New Testament that revealed the character of God. And we know this because remember Job? Job did this. Job said, God's the one that stole from me. God's the one that killed my family. God's the one that took from me. And the Bible clearly says in the first chapter that Satan did it. But Job, not knowing any better, did what a lot of those writers of the Old Testament did. And also there's some discrepancies in the way the translators translate it, which is why you need to study the original at times, go back and look at different words in the Hebrew and Greek. But we can get lost in all that stuff. We just need to understand this, that the New Testament sheds light on it. The Old Testament, it makes it look like God is this God of murder. God is this God of judgment. God is this God of wrath. God is this God of sending just fire and brimstone to people. But when we see the rest of the movie, we see in the New Testament that the Bible gives that credit to Satan and says that God's the God of love, mercy, and grace, and peace. And that's what the Lord said, people, you can't separate. Don't stop with God at the Old Testament. Let the movie finish. If you stop the Wizard of Oz before it's over, you're going to run around telling everyone how great and powerful Oz is. And he wasn't. He's just a little old man who just couldn't do anything, right? I made that little lion go run right through that glass, right? The little old Oz. But everyone thought he was the great and powerful one. Got to let the movie finish. See, we hadn't got to the revelation of Jesus yet. We hadn't got to where Jesus is the light, where he sheds light on the whole thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. You need to wait and let that play out. Hallelujah. God is only responsible for sickness in this sense, that he created the law of sowing and reaping. Romans 6 and verse 23, if you'll pull that up, Heather. Romans 6 and verse 23. And I'm going to tell you something about the wrath of God. See, because if God really destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, little kids, if God really sent water on the earth to destroy mankind, babies and innocent, we got a problem. We got a major problem with our God. A major problem with our God. And a major problem with the Bible. But see, when you understand things and take it as a whole, look at the whole picture, you start to see there's no way possible God is evil. There's no way possible God could do those things. Now, again, the Bible says God gave and God took away, right? That's what Job said, but we know that was wrong. So just because the Word of God says it, that it came from people, doesn't mean that that what they said was absolutely true. You understand what I mean by that? Job uttered, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, didn't make it true because he uttered it. Do you see what I mean by that? Praise God. It's like a reporter reporting something that somebody said, but they could be reporting what somebody said that was false. It was said, but it was false. But look what the Bible says here. The word is clear. It says the wages or the payment of sin is death. The payment or the consequences or the reaping of sin is death. Now, we need to clear things up for people. That does not mean that if you are going through a sickness that you got that sickness because you sinned. Now, it can mean that, but there's lots of different causes, which we'll look at in a few weeks. But the root of all sickness started in the world once sin entered in. In Romans 5 and verse 12, it says, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death came with that sin." People's lifespan started stopping. God's original intention for mankind was to live forever. Never die, never perish, never have sickness, never have disease. Those things didn't enter in until Adam and Eve sinned and sold out to Satan. God had nothing to do with sickness and disease being on this earth. God don't have any sickness and disease to give anybody. He doesn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you need to understand some of these things. Now go with me real quick to Romans 1 and verse 24. I want to show you what the wrath of God is. And then we're gonna build on something today. But I need to clear this up. Because I'll tell you, you read that Old Testament. And you can't think, but man, what's to think that I'm not going to get struck down? Or what's to think that I can expect to be healed? I mean, God sent plagues and God sent this. And no, He didn't. God allowed it to happen from sowing and reaping, but God didn't have any part in it in the sense of causing it or wanting it to happen. But look at Romans 1 and verse 24. Is that where I said to go?
Yeah.
Actually, Heather, go down to verse 21. Now remember what the Bible says. Remember, you got to take the whole counsel of God. Remember what the Bible says. The wages of sin is what? Death. He's saying the payment if you sin is death. You want me to help you? This will really help you. Does anybody want me to help them? Amen. I want to make sure y'all want this. Praise God. If I told Caleb on the road we live in, I said, Caleb, don't go playing in the road. If you do, it could be bad for you. If you go out in that road, you know, you could be hit by a car. Something very terrible could happen to you. Now, that would be true, wouldn't it? But notice I didn't say to Caleb, if you go on that road, I'm going to kill you. You're going to see in the Word that God says, listen, don't play in the road. If you do, it could be trouble. But I'm not the one causing the trouble. I just want you to know there's trouble in the road. Stay out of the road. Same with Caleb. There's trouble in the road, buddy, but if you get hit, I'm not the one causing that trouble. I'm not the one that put that trouble there. But I'm going to show you that in the Word. But in Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because that, now these are going to talk about people that started playing in the road. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now this is what you need to see. Go down to verse 18, Heather. When it says God gave them up, you're going to find out what the wrath of God is here. In verse 18 it says, wait till it gets there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and righteousness. Well, in our religious thinking and in our Sunday school teaching, we think the wrath of God is strike you down. Strike you down with sickness, disease, fear, torment, poverty, lack. God, the guy with the baseball bat. For the wrath of God is being revealed. Well, then we looked at and saw people started playing in the road. And then go back to verse 24. So what's the wrath of God? Wherefore God also gave them up to it. If that's what you want to do, that's what you can do. If you want to play in the road, I'm not going to force you to not play in the road. I warned you, playing in the road is dangerous. But the wrath of God is sowing and reaping. If you want it, you can have it. God will let you be sick. God will let you be poor. God will let you be depressed. He'll let you be stricken with fear. He'll let you be controlled by things that make your mind do things. He'll let you have whatever you want, but He'll also give you the best that He has, which is peace, joy, victory, love, health, prosperity. But He says, it's up to you. Now, obviously, Caleb's 4. We need to be watching. We don't just let him play outside. But when my son turns an age where he can be left alone to do stuff outside, it's not daddy's fault. If Caleb goes playing around in a road that cars are going by 65, 70 miles an hour, it's not daddy's fault at an age when he knows better. It's not, if you come to my house and you all play in a road, that's not my fault. You know better, right? But it's dangerous in the road. But I didn't tell you if you go in there, I'm gonna kill you if you go in that road. And that's why people, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their dishonor of their own bodies between themselves, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and served the creator more than creature more than creator who is blessed forever. For this cause God struck them down with sickness. No. For this cause God gave them up. Said, listen, I can't stop you from doing this. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Praise God. A lot of teaching here this morning, but I got to get this point across. You can't be thinking that God is the one that destroys and that God's the one. Remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, this is a great example. The Bible makes it clearly look like God sent that fire to kill that city. But yet we see Abraham in a conversation with God saying, God, would you spare it for this many people? And God's like, you betcha I would. If there's righteous people, God's saying, I can do something about this because it's when sin happens that death comes in. And God's saying, if there's righteousness here, the law of righteousness will keep the destruction away. And remember he said, Lord, would you save it for 50 people? And the Lord said, you betcha. God's always about, let's save, let's help, let's spare people. He said, if I can find 50, and Abraham said, Lord, if I can find 40, would you spare it? He said, you betcha. If I can find 30, would you hold off the judgment? Yes, I can. I can do it. I can legally do that. 20, even down to 10. They couldn't find 10 stinking righteous people in that whole place. Well, because of what we know by the New Testament, the wages of sin is death. It's not God's fault. They played in the road. They kept sinning and sinning. The hedge that God of protection, just like the hedge of protection God put around Job, kept getting broken down and broken down. And the devil found a place. Ephesians 4 and verse 27 says, don't give place to the devil. If you give place to the devil, that's not God's fault. God always is the hedge builder. God's always the protector. He's always the healer. He's always the restorer. He's always the provider. We break down the hedge by what we choose to do, by how we talk, by how we live. And I want to show you this, Deuteronomy 30, 19. Now, in the chapter before this, well, the two chapters before in 28, it talks about, in verses 1 through 15, he says, if you'll follow me, basically if you'll stay out of the road, this is all the blessings I'll give you. And he goes on and lists blessings for verses 1 through 15. And they're blessings of healing, blessings of prosperity, blessings of peace, all protection and good things like that. But then he says in verses 16 down through about 61 or 62, he says, if you don't do that, this is what's going to happen to you. And he talks about the blessings of sick or the curses of sickness, the curses of disease, the curse of poverty, the curse of mental anguish and torment, lack of protection. So now God says all those things, and look what he says in chapter 30, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. He said that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. What's he saying? I've set before you the choice. Stay out of the road, and I'm promising you all these things. I can work with you if you'll stay out of the road. He says, but I've also set before you cursing. Life and death, now look what he says, that you and your seed may live. Therefore, second line up from the bottom, therefore, choose what? Life. He says, blessing and cursing are set before you. The wages of sin is death. I can protect you if you'll stay. I can bless you if you'll stay in the covenant. I can do my best. It's not that when you go out, God gets mad and does something to you. It's you handcuff God. You tie his hands. He can't violate his word. He said a spiritual law is sowing and reaping. He said a spiritual law is life and death. Now, when it comes to sickness, we have to be careful. You can be sick from sin. Absolutely. But you have to understand this. Don't get into condemnation because all sickness is not a result. The root of it is from the very beginning. But what you're going through, you might not have sinned for the sickness to open up, but there's always a cause. One of the sermons is going to be, what's the cause? Because the Bible says, for this cause, many are sick, weakly, and die among you. He said there's always a cause. There's always a cause of poverty. There's always a cause of sickness. There's always a cause of mental torment. And they don't always have to do with someone being in sin. But we need to find out what that cause is and shut the door on that cause. That's what we need to figure out what it is. Say, Pastor Mike, you're leaving me leaving a big mystery wide open. What are some of those causes? I'll just quickly tell you. Ignorance. Lack of faith, lack of walking in love, sin, lots of different causes. And when we preach on those, check up in your heart. If there's a cause, shut the door to that cause. Praise God. If it's a straight up attack from the enemy, then get in faith and don't move. Get in faith and don't move. But you need to find out. Praise God. But he says the choice is yours. The choice is yours. You want blessing or cursing? Hallelujah. You want blessing or cursing? You pick. You pick. It's up to you. I'm telling you, there's a law of sowing and reaping. There's a law of you sow to the spirit, you'll reap life. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. That's not God's fault, praise God. You know, it's like a farmer, 100-acre cornfield. The farmer goes out and plants 50 acres and leaves 50 unplanted. And he walks out and only gets a 50-acre harvest. Starts kicking the rocks and cursing God. That's stupidity.
Yeah, that's right.
It's stupid to blame God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's stupid to blame God for your problems.
Right. Yeah.
He is your help. He is your standby. He's the one that's in your corner. He's the one that proved to you that he'll do anything for you. He gave his son to die for you. I wouldn't give my son for a lick of any of you. And you wouldn't do it for me. I wouldn't give my boy for no one. And he gave him up for the most vile sinner in the world because he loved you that much. Praise God. Stop thinking he's your issue. Oh, I'm mad at God. How's that working for you? Is that working out good for you, being mad at God and staying away from him and kicking against him? And it's not helping you. He wants to bless you. I love that story. Pastor Nancy Dufresne tells about the woman that's in her church. I think her name was Nadine. She's the financial person. I could have this totally wrong, but as far as the names go, but I know the story. She was in a woman that was going to church. She ran into her in the store. And this Nadine lady, real faithful lady, saw this woman. And had heard, you know, some things that happened with her kids, things that happened in her life, things that happened in her marriage, things that happened in her finances. And went up to her and said, "Man, I just love you. I haven't seen you in church in a while. What's going on?" And they said, "I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God." And Nadine processed in her head and said, "Wow, all this stuff's happening. You stay away from God. You've turned your back on God." And you know what she said to her? She looked right her in the face and said, "How's that working for you?" Can you imagine someone being that bold right there when you're complaining about everything? How's it working for you staying mad at God? And a light bulb went off in that woman. Not very good. Not very good. It's not working very good. God's your helper. God's your helper. Say, "Well, I don't understand why everything happened." Well, it wasn't God. God's trying to pull you out, but he's saying, choose life, people. Choose. I see it all the time. I had an instance happen last year where people told me, they forgot about God in the summertime. Stop tithing, stop coming to church. They said to me, "I'll never do it again. I saw what happened." Their life went, yeah. Well, and then they get faithful again and things start going up and up and up. Why? They're choosing life. Summer rolls around again. Bye-bye, God. Find out from them. Everything falling apart left and right. Building, it's like crumbling.
Sure.
It's your choice. I love that, though. I'm thankful for that. It's my choice. You guys can't keep me out of my blessing. I can't keep you out of your blessing. The devil can't keep you out of your blessing. The devil can't keep me out of my blessing. The only thing that can keep me out of my blessing is me. I like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I got about 5-10 minutes left to get this thing over with. Go to Hebrews 8:6, and we'll close with this point here. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. You know that it's cruel for me to not tell you the truth. If you want me to stand up here and tell you, "Well, you know what, everything will just be okay, just do whatever you want, and you know, I hope it works out," the truth of the matter is, listen, if you don't do it God's way, I can't promise anything's going to work out for you. That's love. I'm sorry, I know it comes off as bold, and it can come off as, "Boy, he's just really giving it to me today." No, it's because I love you so much. That's why I say that. If you'll do it his way, I promise you everything will work out. Everything will turn around financially, physically, relationships. I mean, a life serving God, there ain't no better life. Doing it his way. Doing it his way. There's just no better way of doing it. But Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you came? You're thinking, "No."
Amen.
You better not think that. This is the word. This will help you. Hallelujah. I love it. Remember the children of Israel complained and murmured. And God said, "This is your land." And they said, "Oh, we can't have it. It's too hard. Circumstances are too hard." And what did God say to them? He said, "As you have spoken in my ears, have what you want." Didn't God say that to him? Numbers 14, 27, he says, "As you've spoken in my ears, you said it's too hard. You said we can't do it. We said we can't have it. We're not going to have it." And that's what happened. They didn't have it, did they?
Right.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. but now he's obtained a more excellent ministry. Notice this, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hallelujah. Better promises. Everybody say better covenant.
Better covenant.
Better promises.
Better promises.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Better.
Better.
Trying to get that word to sink into you.
Amen.
If I can get you to see in the Word that the Old Testament people who don't even know God, the Old Testament people that are not children of God, if I can get you to see that they had a covenant of healing, if I can get you to see that they had a healing in with God, because of that verse, that tells you that we have better promises than they had.
Yeah.
If Old Testament people could be healed, that means you have at least what they can have. And this will help you when healing belongs to us. You'll see, wow, the Old Testament people, they're not even his children. I said this example last night. I can't think of a better one. You know, we have Orkin come over and spray our house. We live in the country now. We have to do that. I said last night, there's bugs I didn't even know were real. I'm still wondering if they came from outer space or something. It's like, where are these things? I haven't seen anything like that. But we get it sprayed. And boy, you should see when we get a mouse in our house, I become the biggest chicken. She'll vouch, man, she takes care of that stuff. I'm scared of those things. I'm the hunter, gets my hands all bloody, will gut a deer, do all this thing. But when it comes to a mouse, I'm not trying to be funny. She'll take it out for me, and I'm like peeking behind the corner. I know, it's true. Don't tell your dad. Don't tell your dad. I do not want her dad to know that. Praise God. We keep that secret to him. Praise the Lord. But it's the truth. And we get Orkin to come spray, and you could say it this way, that when Orkin sprays, they're serving me in a way.
Sure.
Now, yet I'm paying for it, but they're doing me a service, right? And, you know, we'll talk to them. Maybe if it's a hot day, we'll give them something to drink, or if we have maybe cookies on board, or one time a guy came over and hooked up our cable and stuff, and we had fresh cookies, and just blessing them and being kind. But, you know, the Orkin man, he doesn't get the blessings that my kids get. He gets part of my household and a little bit of a blessing from my household, but he doesn't get near the blessings that my kids get. Old Testament people weren't children of God. They were Old Testament saints. The New Testament people who've accepted Jesus are called children. We have a much better covenant. And if I can show you that in the Old Testament they had healing, then you can say, I have healing because they had that and I got something better. We moved into a better house than our old house. You can go to our old house, go to our new house and say the new one's better. You can look at the Old Testament and say, that was good, but the New Testament's much better.
Amen.
Praise God. So here's what I'm going to do real quick. You're going to have to be fast on this. Heather, you don't even have to flip there. I'm going to read these. I'm going to go down through these really fast of about 10 to 12 verses. Just going to say them and read them about Old Testament verses on healing. Now, your job is to either write them down or to get back on the archives and get these in your heart. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. I'm just going to go fast. Like I said, I'm not going to even repeat them. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Deuteronomy 11, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them. Now notice this. That you'll have days of heaven on the earth. Heaven on earth is healing. People in heaven are not sick. And God's telling the Old Testament people, I'm going to give you days of heaven on earth. Yeah. Psalm 30 and verse 2. O Lord, my God, I cried unto you, and you healed me.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 91 and verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither any plague come near your dwelling. Psalm 103, verse 3, the God who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. These are promises to Old Testament people. These are promises to the Orkin man. If I'm promising the Orkin man some cookies, you better believe my son's getting some.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save the good ones for him. With the most chocolate chips. Praise God. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. He says the word of God. Now, I'm not even scratching the surface with the verses in the Old Testament that talk about healing for those people. I'm just doing this for time's sake. I could give you about 100 verses in the Old Testament, just ones that I know of offhand where they're at, that would tell you. You don't need 100. All you need is one. But I'm going to give you 10 to 12. Jeremiah 17 and verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. I love this verse. This verse helped me get off the bed of sickness. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of your wounds, says the Lord. When I had that appendix issue years ago, and I was laying on that bed and should have been dead, praise God, and they said your body won't be the same for a year. And I mean, that was the sickest I had ever been in my life and the most pain I've ever experienced. I'd get up out of that bed, turn that hospital bed alarm off, get up out of bed and just struggle and hold that thing that's connected to me. What's that thing called, Grandma Alice?
IV pole.
An IV pole? That sounds pretty simple. An IV pole, right? Thank God for smart people. Hallelujah. And I had my IV pole and I was walking around that room and I was quoting Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. I'd say, Lord, I thank you. You restore health unto me. I tell you, if you're going through sickness, start saying, I'm the healed of the Lord. Start declaring, this thing's leaving my body. This thing's trespassing against me. This thing's not going to stand against me. He said he'll restore health unto me. He promised the Old Testament people, I'll restore it back to you. I'll give you the health that belongs to you. Hallelujah. Now, last verses, we'll close here. Luke 13, verse 11. See, we're establishing God's a healer, but now we're taking it a step further and showing you they had it in the Old Testament. If the Old Testament people were promised healing, you definitely are promised healing. Luke 13 and verse 11. And we'll stop here. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of sickness 18 years. Now, if that doesn't do something for your heart, you might not want to check up on your compassion meter. 18 years going through something in her body. How sad. And then we find out what it was. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Can you imagine being bent over, not being able to stand up straight for 18 years? And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said unto her, Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. He laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, we don't know why she was in that sickness. We know there was a cause because God clearly says, listen, I've set before you. We don't know why she was, but thank God she got to Jesus. That's one reason why we have it better. We don't have to get to Jesus. He's already in us. That same healer that healed her that day already dwells on the believer, inside the believer. You just got to learn. See, a lot of these things, you got to learn to cooperate with God. You got to learn to do it His way. We got to be skillful with how God does things. Blessings of God do not just fall on our laps like ripe cherries off a tree. We got to be skillful. But anyways, Jesus said, Woman, you're loose from this infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Look at verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was mad about this. See, that's why you need to get your religion and your traditional thinking out of the way on healing, because your religion and your traditional thinking on healing is always going to fight against healing. Always going to fight against it. Look at the religious people back then. This woman, 18 years, is cured. Can you imagine that moment for her? I mean, I've been sick for a month, and I'm like, just get this thing off of me. Years. And she's rejoicing, and someone's mad about it. Remember that girl in youth group that came with the ear problem? The Lord gave me a vision earlier in the day. I haven't been using a whole lot of visions, but the ones I have been pretty kind of remarkable. I was driving around on a Friday afternoon getting ready for youth group, and I saw myself in service that night. It was a flash like a TV screen, sticking my fingers in a youth group kid's ears and saying, be healed in the name of Jesus. Didn't know what it meant, but I knew what I saw, and then I was praying in the salvation call in the service at the end, trying to lead kids to Jesus. And the Lord gave me that flash again. And I knew that I was to mention that in service after I got done. I said, there's somebody here with an ear problem. Well, there was a few kids there that night. Most of the kids had an event going on, so a lot of the faithful kids weren't there, and it was just a few kids and then one brand new girl. And I was apprehensive of even calling it out because, number one, when you're a youth group leader, you know what every kid's going through, man. They make sure to tell you everything. Like, they don't leave nothing out. And none of them have ever told me they had a hearing problem. And even if this girl had a hearing problem, there ain't no way she's going to stand up and admit to it in front of all these new kids. She just showed up there new one night. I said, someone's got a hearing problem, and I saw myself laying hands on you and doing something, and it's going to bring your healing. She came forward. I was shocked. I mean, I knew it had to be her because, like I said, the other kids, they tell you inside and out. You don't have to wonder what they're going through, praise God. And she came up. And she told me the percentage, I can't remember now, it was a lot, percentage of hearing loss that she had. I said, this is what I saw. I had to get her permission. You know, you don't want to go jamming your finger in new kid's ear. You know, if you ever start a church, it's not wise to do that unless you first tell them why. So I said, I saw myself this afternoon driving around that someone was going to have a hearing problem. And then I was going to stick my two index fingers in your ears. And I was going to utter the words, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I was going to pull those out and you were going to be healed. Is it all right if I do that? And she said, absolutely. So I jammed my finger in her ears. That's always fun. Jammed my finger in her ears. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Came out. And I kid you not, she's a witness. We could get our kids to testify to this. The tears, it's like someone opened the floodgates. She dropped to her knees and hands lifted high, started weeping and crying. At first, I thought, what did I just do to her? Did I pop another eardrum? Because like at first, she was carrying on, and she's like, I can hear. I can hear. It's gone. I'm healed. I'm healed. And she's weeping, and we're all praising God. And I got a youth group service to run. We're done with the message. Now we usually have time where we have fun and make food for the kids. And she won't stop carrying on. Listen, when you get your healing, you don't give a rip what people think. She's carrying on and on. I'm like, we get a couple of the faithful leaders, of faithful older girls. We said, take her over in the corner and just hold her and rejoice with her. And she did that for the rest of it. Didn't partake in the food, just kept crying. She'd been deaf for so long. Why do I tell that story? Because she went home and told her parents, and they got mad and wouldn't let her come back to church. They got mad that they thought, what weird thing is going on that my daughter can be sick for? Instead of saying, wouldn't you think you just want to be, I mean, I would want to just shout that church, that minister, that God from the rooftops if it was my kid, but religion doesn't look at it that way. And they forbid her to come to that church and stopped her from coming. We never saw her ever again. One of the greatest miracles I've ever been a part of seeing happen, gone like that, and we found out through the kids. Her parents are mad about this. Religious leaders got mad about this. Religion is a killer. People say, you must be so religious, Pastor Mike. No, I hate religion. I hate religion. I love relationship. He says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and there come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said to him, you're a hypocrite. Do you not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? He says, every one of you does something on the Sabbath. When you're taking your donkey out and your ox to get watered, you're working. He's saying, you're a hypocrite. But this is what we're getting at for you, and this is what I'm going to leave you with. Verse 16. And ought not this woman. That word ought not means it's necessary. There's need of it. It is right and proper. That's God's idea of this. He says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, what's he saying? She's a Jew. She's in the Old Testament covenant with God. What we've looked at today, the Old Testament covenant of God included healing. And Jesus said, she's part of the covenant. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? When he said that, he's clarifying who she is. He's clarifying she's in covenant right, whom Satan has bound. Second place in the New Testament tells us who's responsible for sickness, whom Satan has bound. Lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond on this Sabbath day. He's saying it's right, it's necessary, and it's proper that she be healed because she's in covenant. And I'd say to you walking out of here, we're going to title this message part two, ought not. Ought not you, being a born again child of the Most High God, the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ and God Almighty running through your body, ought not you walk in divine healing? If Jesus looked at her and said, it's proper and right for her to be healed, and she's Old Testament, and we live in a covenant that's better promises, ought not you be healed? Ought not your children be healed? God's saying, it's right and it's proper and it's necessary. Don't be so casual towards sickness. Don't baby that thing. Get a fire in your eyes towards that thing. Get an indignation towards sickness and disease that, listen, this thing does not belong on me. I'm going to attack this head on, and this thing's leaving my body. This thing's leaving my child's body. This thing's not going to be a part of our life anymore. Don't coddle that thing. God doesn't look at sickness as being some neat thing. No, no, no. He wants it gone from you. He wants it gone from you. All the suffering and torment and financial things that it causes, he wants that thing gone for you. And you need to walk around and say, ought not I ought to be healed. It's right. It's proper. It's necessary that I walk in healing. Amen. Thank you for your patience. I know I went a little bit longer. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. I thank you for your take on healing, Lord. Fires me up knowing that you're behind us all the way. And Father, you're the healer. You said so yourself. And Father, I thank you. We clear up some things. There's no way you're the sickness giver. You don't have sickness to give. You said in your word that every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Sickness isn't good and ain't perfect. You're only merciful and kind and just. And Father, we need to get our thinking arranged, because if we think that you're part of it at all, it's going to hinder the faith that we need to receive to beat this thing. So Father, I thank you for not facing anything right now. If we do someday, I thank you, we're going to walk in healing. I thank you for things that we are facing right now, Father God, that we will overcome and be victorious. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory. If I could ask real quick everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Healing's awesome, it is. But I'll tell you what, if I had to pick one, thank God I don't, but if I had to pick going to heaven and missing hell, or to be healed, I'll pick going to heaven and missing hell any day of the week. But thank God, God said you can have both. Healing's awesome, but salvation's better. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to embarrass anybody, but everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Because you can be certain of that answer. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Jesus said it's simple. That if a man be born again, he'll enter the kingdom of God. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to give money. All you have to do is just believe that. If you believe that Jesus died, if you believe that he rose again, you're a candidate. You're qualified for salvation. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have people listening by live stream. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. We're not going to have anybody stand up. You're not going to say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus, listen, it ain't about because you've been a good person. No amount of good works can get you into heaven, and no amount of bad works can keep you out. So if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to know for sure that you're going to heaven and have that peace of mind, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive him this morning? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand high and put it right back down. No, there's no pressure. Again, nobody's going to be embarrassed. Or is there anybody at all? I don't ever like to rush this. Sometimes people are shy. Is there anybody? I don't know everybody personally here. Anybody at all wants to receive Jesus? Well, Father, I don't see any hands in this service, so I trust that we're all born again. But Lord, if there's someone here that was just shy, or maybe someone listening by live stream, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And how do you do that? You just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my life. If you ask him to do that, he'll save you. Praise God. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we close service, because we did preach on healing, I want to give people an opportunity. If you're going through anything in body and you want hands laid on you, last week we had, I think, three people come up to get hands laid on them. All three had testimonies of something that happened to them and completely turned around. And so the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so if I get permission from these people, I'm going to tell you exactly what was told them and what happened after they got hands laid on them. And so if you want hands laid on you, and we'll do that another time. But if you want hands laid on you for anything in your body, would you just come forward? We'll pray for you. If there's nobody, we'll close the service. But come on in. Praise God. I tell you, this stuff really works. Hallelujah. And especially when you preach on healing, there's faith rises up for people. The Bible says when you hear the word, faith comes. Well, she's got faith to be healed this morning. Praise God. If there's anybody else that wants to come forward, come forward. What's up? Let's just believe everything from head to toe. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we say sickness, disease, pain, you leave her body now. We command you to go. You're trespassing on God's child. Ought not this woman, being a child of God, be healed? In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory to God. Just be healed. Glory to God. Anybody else? I tell you, the testimonies are awesome. Praise God. Anybody else? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. You're dismissed. Don't forget, if you're first time, please pick up one of the books, His Goodness, on your way out. You're dismissed.